Revelation 22:3. A similar statement is made in the 7th chapter of Revelation concerning the heavenly bodies serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly city. But this verse is a very unusual one in the fact that it says in heaven, when we get our new bodies, we shall serve Him right. Contrasting to our service now, there's something tainted about our service for God now. There's something depraved, even about the good that we do. And so, in this verse, it's sort of contrasting it. It's saying about like this, up until we get our glorified bodies, we serve Him, but we don't really serve Him right. We don't really give Him untainted service. But in that time, His servants shall serve Him right, like He ought to be served. I'd heard about it, and read about it, and studied it. We could go Thursday. Well, we could go last Wednesday night. Something happened to me. It doesn't happen to me very often. I got sick. I hardly ever get sick. You know, health, and a picture of health, muscles, and robust, and so forth. But I was trying to recall the last time that I had to cancel a speaking engagement. I was supposed to speak Thursday night in Kankakee. And the longer I lived Thursday, the more I thought I was going to die. And I got a good case of what I guess was the Asian flu or Hong Kong flu. So I felt more like the Vietnam flu. But anyway, I got it. And by the way, I still have the fallout of it now. In fact, something about to fall out right now. But anyway, I still have the fallout. But Thursday night, Dave had the car, so I didn't have a way home. So Jim Reinert took me home, and I laid back in the car and groaned and grunted and groaned. I had to go home a little bit early, and I got home and went up to Dave's room. He has an electric heater. And if I got over that far with an electric heater, I just froze. I had fever 118, and I just estimated it. But I was sick. I've never been that sick. One time I said, "Lord, how does it? Is this the way you feel when you die?" And he said, "I don't know. I never have died." But anyway, I thought, now this, it's got to be the sickest sick I've ever been in my life. My head hurt. I mean, it just felt like it was about to bust. I had a sore throat, couldn't hardly talk on the hell of my throat. My nose was raw. My neck was sore. I was sore all over. I was sick at my stomach. My feet hurt. Everything was bad. And I said, "Dave, take me over to see Dr. Streeter." And Dave rode me over, and I know he thought I was dying. I groaned and I grunted. I was supposed to be preaching Thursday night. I was really sick. I probably had fever of 99.5. And you fellows know, for a man, that's really sick. But anyway, I was in bad shape. And so Dr. Streeter helped me a bit and gave me a shot. And Dr. Streeter, he did something I'd never seen before. He knocks a fire out of you where he's going to shoot you. Now, I won't tell you where he shoots you, but he knocks a fire out of you, and that way the shot doesn't hurt. You're still screaming from getting slapped. But anyway, and I never had heard of that. David said, "Dad, that's where they do horses." And I didn't know. But anyway, boy, I wasn't long for this world. I wasn't. So I went home, and I thought, now I better read my Bible and pray a while. You know, I opened the Bible, and I'll be honest with you, I just couldn't read the Bible. And I thought, now that's strange. I mean, I always like to read the Bible. But you know, I just didn't want to read the Bible. I was too sick. So I decided to get down on my knees and pray. And I couldn't pray except, "Lord, help me." And that's all I could do. You know, it's pretty tough when a preacher has to be a human being for a while, and I couldn't pray. And I tried to talk to the Lord a while, and I couldn't. And soon I found myself weeping. And I said, "Lord, I do love you. I don't feel like praying. And Lord, I don't feel like reading the Bible. I just feel like grunting and groaning and griping. But I felt so guilty. Dr. Billings, I don't recall the last time that I didn't want to read the Bible. And I don't recall when I couldn't pray. But I didn't feel like praying. And I didn't feel like reading the Bible. And I couldn't preach. I preach if I can get enough energy to strength to walk up, stand up, and walk the pulpit and lean up against the pulpit, I preach. But I couldn't stand up long enough to preach. I had to cancel out the engagement Thursday night and Friday night. And I got thinking, I can't pray like I ought to pray. And I can't even read the Bible. I don't feel like it. And I can't preach. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I thought of this verse that night. In that day, our bodies shall be like His, and we shall serve Him right. We shall serve Him right. And I thought, when I get well, I'm going to preach on that. But I can't get well, so I'm going to do it while I'm still sick. I began to think, you know, really, that's probably the best thing about the glorified body. I mean, the body we have that is like Christ, 1 John chapter 3 says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, a lot of good things about the glorified body. I mean, I think about it. No pain or death, that's right. No flu, no Hong Kong Asian flu. No death, nobody will ever die. Nobody will ever take medicine that will react and have to prematurely be taken. Nobody will ever get sick. We'll see our loved ones. We'll never get tired. We'll see Jesus. All those are wonderful things. But you know, in a real sense, even all those things are tainted with selfishness. Say, praise the Lord, I'll have a body like His. That's rather selfish, isn't it? Thank God, I won't get sick anymore. That's rather selfish, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord, we'll never die there. That's selfish, isn't it? Well, I'll get to see Jesus. That's a bit selfish, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think we ought to want those things. And God has given us everything in the Bible that He can with which to entice us to become Christians. And so He says, okay, if you get saved, I'll give you a new life. If you get saved, I'll give you peace. If you get saved, I'll give you a new body someday. If you get saved, I'll take you to heaven someday. If you get saved, I'll come back and get you someday. If you get saved, I'll see to it you'll never get sick again. If you get saved, I'll give you a home on golden streets and walk through gates of pearl where no crape should ever darken the doorknob. If you get saved, I'll give you all these things. And there's nothing wrong with them, as I preached about last Sunday night. But, I got to thinking, I guess really the thing we ought to want a new body the most for is so we can serve Him right. We can serve Him right. And so I thought this, I want to serve Him right. The other night I was preaching in Oklahoma City. And good night. Just as sure, Doc, every time I get a little sick, I get in the kind of room that's got a draft under the door, or the dumb heater never would turn off. It'd blow all the time. And one of these things, it'd blow right on the bed, right on the bed. And so, all night long, the thing would get hot, and then the thermostat would turn off, but it was blowing right on my head. And I tried to pull the cover around my head, and I'd get a little active while I sleep. I'm a little active, and I pull the cover off and wake up my head. It'd be cold and the wind blowing on my head. And so I decided, there's two pillows there in the motel room. I decided to take the pillowcase off one of them, pull the pillowcase down on top of my head. And so there I was sleeping with a pillowcase on my head. But the pillowcase is too big for my head. Now, no smart cracks about that. But the pillowcase is too big for my head. And so I found the pillowcase off my head. So I had an extra T-shirt. And so I got up and got the T-shirt. And I knew I always had a hard time getting my T-shirts on. So I put the top of the T-shirt down first, you know, the neck on first, and put the T-shirt right around here, and then the rest of the T-shirt was hanging down. Looked like Alababy and so forth. And the rest of the T-shirt was hanging down like this. So I turned off the crazy heat. And then it got to 10 degrees in Oklahoma City. Can you believe that? Everywhere I go, things are bad. I mean, there's a cloud over me. And it snowed in Oklahoma City. First time it snowed there since Japheth was a boy. And it snowed in Oklahoma City. And it's cold in the room. And so I got it again. And the next morning I went rolling over. And so forth. So I went to preach. And they had me preaching Tuesday. All day Tuesday. I preached on Tuesday afternoon. I had almost all afternoon seminar on Sunday school building and so forth. And then went back Tuesday night. And I'll be honest, I was going to preach on the great white throne judgment and the second resurrection. They gave me that subject. And that's the hardest sermon I preach. I don't like to do it. And I stood up to sing, and my knees bobbled, and I sat down during the song. And I said, Lord, I don't believe I can do it. I just don't believe I can do it. And finally, and I said to the Lord, You deserve more than this. You deserve more than a wobbly-kneed old man that's washed out. I mean, you deserve more than a fella who's snorting. And of course, I do that all the time. But I mean, I have to. Then you deserve more than a fella who's weak and had the flu and about to have it again. You deserve more than a fella who has to sit down during a song service. And I turned to Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. And I said, Lord, hasten the day when I can serve you like you ought to be served. And that's one reason why I'm looking forward to the glorified body, when my body shall be perfect and strong, and nobody ever gets weak, and we can serve the Lord like He ought to be served. Sometimes I'm preaching, and I'm sure you fellows have the same way. You preach a lot. I'm preaching, and I'll be preaching on heaven, and I'll think, now I ought to get more excited about this. You ever do that? I ought to get more excited about heaven than this. Here is a perfect city where I'm going to go and live forever, and wonderful it is to know you're going to heaven, but the old body just won't get with it. And I say, how's you ought to be able to holler more about that? And I just can't do it. And I get so aggravated, and I say, I'll be glad when I can serve Him right. And sometimes I get to preaching on hell, and I think, good night, people out here going to hell, they're going to burn forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire and brimstone. They're going to forever be tormented and never have a chance to get out and never have a chance of reprieve and never have a second chance to get saved. And here I am telling them about it. Why can't I cry? Why can't I get more excited about it? And then my body just won't quite go. And I say, dear Lord, I'll be glad when I can serve you right like you ought to be served. But there's something more than just serving Him right, and that is loving Him right. You know, I want to love the Lord. I've said this so often. I'd rather be a good Christian than a good preacher. Many of you folks have heard me. You know that I've got a better chance on being a good Christian than a good preacher. John Penley tells a story about a policeman stopped me and tried to give me a ticket. And John said this happened. I don't recall, but said, Brother Hiles looked up and said, don't give me a ticket. I'm just a poor preacher. And the policeman said, yes, I know. I heard you last Sunday. Now, that's what John Penley said. I don't know that's true. But I do want to be a good Christian, and I want to love the Lord. Charles Spurgeon used to say, he said, I want to love the Lord so much and so sincerely that when I look up and say, I love you, Jesus, the Lord looks down and says, I know it, Charles. I know it. But I was sick. And I couldn't even take a few minutes and praise the Lord. I didn't feel like praying. And I said, dear God, I do love you. I do. I do love you. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading the Bible. And I can't preach, but I love you. And I'm glad when this body of clay is exchanged for a tabernacle, our temple permanent in the skies, building not made with hands, and we'll be able to love Him like we ought to love Him. You know, that's a strange thing. I was taking some of that goop that doctors give you, you know, to get you over it, and it dries up your nose. And your nose gets so dry, it starts bleeding, and then you got to put some stuff up there, you know, to loosen it up a little bit, and then it starts squirting again. And you put the stuff to dry it, and it dries up, and it starts bleeding again. And it also makes you sort of woozy, you know. And so I knelt beside the bed to say my prayer. When I'm away, I kneel beside the bed at night and pray, and I knelt beside the bed to say my prayers Tuesday night. And I woke up an hour and a half later, asleep beside the bed, on my knees. I'm not a very good Christian, but at least I sleep like a good Christian. And I was on my knees. And woke up an hour and a half later, on my knees, just sound asleep, you know. And I felt so bad. I couldn't even look at the Lord in the face. I felt so bad about it. And I looked up and I looked back down and I thought, good night, what a way to love the Lord. Here I was supposed to be saying, now lay me down to sleep. And I did. Now lay me down to sleep. And I thought, what a way to serve the Lord. And I got to thinking, good night. I can't preach and I can't pray and I can't read the Bible. What good am I worth? And then I said, Lord, I'm sorry. So I decided to go to bed and try to pray, and I went to sleep laying down. If you're going to go to sleep praying, it's the best thing to do it comfortably. And I've been thinking so much in the last 10 days. I don't get sick much. God pity you poor people. I feel sorry for you. I'm going to start feeling sorry for you more. They come in the office. In fact, the other day, I told the staff, I'm just going to get a bucket of vitamin C's. We're just going to put a big, big tub full. As you walk in the door, grab a handful in the morning and to get everybody well. Seems like everybody's sick. And within 24 hours after I said that, I got sick myself. But I said, Lord, I can't preach like I ought to preach, and I can't pray like I ought to pray. I can't read the Bible like I ought to read the Bible. And then I got thinking, I can't praise Him like I ought to praise Him in this body. I want to praise Him. And He deserves praise. Did you ever stop and think about it? Jesus has never gotten much praise ever. Think about that a minute. Our Lord has never gotten much praise. He came to earth, born in Bethlehem. No room for Him in the inn. Went to His own hometown, and they rejected Him and cast Him out of His own synagogue. 33 years on earth, despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Had a mock trial. Scourged Him. Crucified Him. He rose from the dead. But since that day, His name has been cursed. His name has been profaned. He's never gotten much praise. And I got thinking, won't it be wonderful when we get glorified bodies where we can praise Him like He ought to be praised? That's one reason why I want a body like His. I want to be able to take the Bible and read it and read it and love it. And I want to say, Lord, I love Your book. And I love it. And I want to give You the love. I want to be able to look up and say, Lord, I want to talk to You without getting sleepy. Anybody here ever pray and go to sleep like I did while you're praying? Anybody else like I am, as backslidden as I am? And the rest of you are backslidden. You don't even know you're backslidden. But you go to sleep while you're praying. Now, I'm not against that. I did it myself. But isn't that a pretty sorry way to serve the Lord? Brother Fisk, you ever get up and you're going to preach? And recently you've been sick too. And you're going to preach and you just ache all over and you don't feel very good and you just think, I just wish I didn't have to preach. You ever do that? And you get feeling bad about it and say, I shouldn't be that way. I want to preach. All I want to serve the Lord. But I don't feel like it. Did you ever open the Bible, Dr. Billings, and verses that used to be so sweet and precious? Normally they are. But you look at them and you say, oh my, if I'm going to get 5 hours sleep tonight, I'm going to have to go to bed. And so you say, well, I better read a Bible because I promised a preacher at the altar one night I'd read a verse every day. And you read a verse in the Bible, and it doesn't say anything to you. The other night, I was wobbling on my axles, and I felt so ashamed. A fella going to sleep while he prays on his knees. Fella can't preach. There are a crowd of people down in Kankakee waiting to hear me preach, and there I was at home. That's no way to be. And I got thinking, this is no way to serve God. Good night. I want to shout His praises and read His Bible and tell His goodness and preach. There I was wobbling up to the pulpit. So while they were having the offertory prayer, I knelt beside the chair in the pulpit, right beside the chair. And I said, dear Lord, I'll be honest with You. I don't know whether I can preach or not. Last night I couldn't pray and I couldn't read the Bible. And I'll be honest, I don't know whether I can stand up for 45 minutes or so or not. But I said, Lord, tell You what I'll do. I'll get up if I can. And I'm ashamed that my body is weak. But Lord, I'll give You what I have. I'll give You what I have. We'll never praise Him like He deserves, but we can praise Him the best we can. We'll never love Him like He deserves to be loved, but we can love Him the best we can. We'll never preach, oh my. We'll never preach, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared in this book for those that love Him. Nobody would, R.G. Lee, no, nobody will ever be able to preach with the tongues of men in this fleshly body. The beauties of heaven, the awfulness of hell, the blackness of sin, the greatness of God, the goodness of Christ, the marvelous grace of God. Nobody would ever be able to preach it like it is. But we can do the best we can. We can do the best we can. And so I did. And when the service was ended, so many people came to get saved. And the blessings of God were there. And I got to thinking, isn't God good to do so much with so little. We can't serve Him like He ought to be served right now. Someday we will be able to. In the New Jerusalem, we'll serve Him and praise Him and love Him. Did you ever love a child, maybe, and wish that child could feel what you feel? Ever say to your teenager, "You don't appreciate me"? Or did you ever say anything else to your teenager? You've heard me say that Mark Twain said, when a child is a teenager, put him in a box and lock him up and cut a hole just so he can breathe. When he gets 17, plug up the hole. But did you know that did you ever look at your teenager and say, I wish that she could return my love? Or I wish he knew how much I loved him and he were old enough and maybe could understand and love me like I love him? The dear Lord has to do that all the time. He who loves with perfect love has to look down and love us. Oh, how He loved us. And all He gets in return is imperfect love, imperfect service, and imperfect praise. Oh, hasten the day when we shall see Him as He is and be like Him and be able to praise Him. And the dear Lord says, that's the kind of praise I've been giving. And to love Him. And the Lord says, now He loves me like I love Him. And to serve Him. And serve Him right. Let us pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. You say, I can't love Him right. Okay, but love Him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. You say, I can't praise Him right. Okay, praise Him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. You say, I can't serve Him right. Okay, but serve Him the best you can. Every person in this room this morning can say this, Lord, I can't serve you right, but I can give you what I've got. I can give you what I've got. Our Heavenly Father, make it so. Now our heads are bowed. Why don't you say this morning, Dear Lord, I want to love you like you deserve to be loved. Someday, thank God, I will. But until then, I can love you with all I have. Why don't you say this morning, Dear God, I can't serve you right. I'm sorry. My service is tainted. But dear Lord, I will be able someday to serve you right. But until then, I'll give you all I have. I'll serve you the best I can. I'll live for you the best I can with this frail body of dust. Won't you say that? Won't you say that? His servant shall serve Him right. May we serve Him until then as best we can. Heads are bowed. This morning, if you're here and you're not saved, not even a Christian, you can't even start. God deserves more than a life that's not given to Him. God loves you so much. He deserves more than you not even trusting Him. He deserves more than you leaving Him out of your life. How dare you! Take the love of God. Young folks, bow your heads and close your eyes. What kind of service is that? Acting like heathen. Sunday morning, we ought to be serving God and saying, God, save somebody. God pity that kind of foolishness. It's amazing to me, God doesn't kill all of us. How little our service is. How little our love is. Some of you haven't even trusted Him. Haven't even trusted Him. Isn't that a sight? The greatest love ever offered, He offers to you. And you won't even believe on Him. You don't even trust Him. You're not even a Christian. This morning we're going to sing in a minute. I want you to leave your seat. I want you to come to the aisle. I want you to come down the aisle and become a Christian. Yes, this morning. I want you to leave your seat and come down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to do it. I want you to do it on the first stanza. Then if you're here this morning and you're saved, but have not been baptized, every eye is closed, son. If you're saved but have not been baptized, I want you to leave your seat and come down the aisle and follow Christ in believer's baptism. And then if you're here but not a member of the church and want to join the church, what kind of Christianity is it? What kind of service is it that won't even join a church and serve God in a local church? You come and transfer that membership. We'll write and get the membership letter for you. And so when we sing in just a few minutes, you leave your seat. I want you to come toward the aisle, down the aisle to the front, and receive Christ. Come for baptism. Come for church membership. Our Heavenly Father, speak to us during the invitation time. Get glory to Jesus. It's imperfect glory, we know. Get praise to thyself. We know it's tainted by wrong and tainted by the weakness of the flesh. But this morning, may people come and say, yes, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. May every unconverted person come to Christ. May every unbaptized person come to baptism. May every unchurched person come to church membership. Make it so, dear God. Amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing, and as the choir sings the first stanza, if you need to receive the Savior, or get baptized, or join the church by transfer, on the very first word of the first stanza, you leave your seat and come as we sing. Don't wait. Come now.